This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. You're listening to Weekend Programming, and here's what's coming up in today's show. Find out how the first generation of Czech Vietnamese is tackling questions of identity and perception, both in everyday life and art. We'll also have a new episode of Soundcheck for you, in which you can learn Czech idioms through song lyrics. And we'll continue and round things out in today's program with another edition of My Prague, in which well-known Prague-based personalities show Ian Willoughby around their favorite spots, hangouts, and haunts in the city. First, though, let's get started with this edition of Czech Life. Masha Volinsky visited a Prague studio called Družina, which is hosting a month-long series of events called Czech Vietnam, trying to bridge the gap between Czechs and their Vietnamese neighbors.
For many Czechs, Vietnamese vegetable stands, clothes shops, and nail parlors have become part and parcel of city life. Communication may be at times tough for some, but most appreciate the hard-working attitude of this very distinct group. Today, though, being Vietnamese in the Czech Republic does not only bring to mind shopkeepers who can say 10 or 15 words in Czech. Jan Látal, a co-founder of the cultural studio Družina in Prague's Vršovice neighborhood, says this thought came to him in a Vietnamese grocery shop, realizing that the older generation of store owners are no longer the only face of this community. He and his colleagues at Družina decided to discover what is.
For me, the word, it was unreadable a little bit, because I have seen just the workers, and I have seen that the Vietnamese only work, and don't have any leisure time. So I couldn't realize their habits and their culture. I just can realize that they are hard workers. So that's only I know about them. So I'm very glad that that we can meet these two girls here, and we can know something more about their culture.
The two girls Jan mentioned are Chang Luong, a college student, and Diana Nguyen, who is still in high school. Both of the young women are artists and are both of Vietnamese descent. The series of events, Czech Vietnam at Družina, started off with the launch of an exhibit by Chang and Diana. Diana, who was born in the Czech Republic, says that the same stereotypes about the Vietnamese have been around for decades.
I think that Czech people almost see Vietnamese people like just the shopper or something, but they don't think about us like students or like we were born here and we grow with their child, so we are like them. And I think that they don't see it, or the old generation don't see it.
For the young Vietnamese who were born or grew up in this country, Europe is their home, even if Vietnamese culture and traditions are still a prominent part of their lives. Their appearance may be deceiving to the older generation, but their classmates and peers usually accept them as one of their own. Chang says that Vietnamese youngsters have different goals from those of their parents.
When our parents came here, the main goal was to provide for the whole family. But our generation is different. We are influenced by the European lifestyles, and we don't want to be and work the same way that our parents did.
For Jan Látal, both the exhibit and all of the April events are about getting to know more about this young generation of Vietnamese living in the Czech Republic. They are the future of this community, Jan says, and they will be the ones able to change the traditional stereotypes.
I think that it will change when the new generation of Vietnamese will grow up, and because I think they are very clever and they are very self-confident, and I think that they will show us their best in the future, and I think we are waiting for this.
Speaking with Chang and Diana, I wondered, though, if it wasn't difficult for them to choose the path of artists. After all, even though their parents brought them up in Europe, as immigrants they had to largely worry about job security and financial stability for their children. Diana admitted that although her parents had no problem with her studying art, most other Vietnamese parents want more lucrative prospects for their sons and daughters.
Surprisingly, it was fine. I was studying grammar school before art school, and when I told them that I wanna just be artist and do something with art, they just say, okay, if you think we can do it, just do it. And it was really surprised because normally Vietnamese parents are not like that. They want their child to study economic and law or doctors or something like that.
For Chang, the situation with her parents was a bit different, but it hasn't deterred her from choosing to study art, both in high school and now at university.
Before I entered the art high school, my parents had very little time to pay attention to us, so I had quite a lot of freedom. Once they realized, though, that I'm studying art, they got really worried and said that maybe I should go study economics or something so that I would have more security.
I asked Chang and Diana to show me their artwork, which is featured in the front room of the Družina space, with a large storefront window facing a quaint Vršovice street. Although both said they see little distinction in lifestyle between themselves and their Czech peers, their art reflects their Vietnamese background very clearly.
The fact that I have roots in Vietnam does make me different from other Czech artists. I often, for example, include in my paintings Vietnamese symbols that represent maybe luck or prosperity.
Chang has two works displayed at Družina. One is a framed painting, and another piece was drawn right on the walls. The painting shows animals sitting around a table, while the other is a series of small, cartoon-like pictures with scenes from Vietnam. Although they may seem different, Chang explained that there is one common theme linking the two works.
In my art, I like to work with what I know well, with themes that have a strong influence on me, which in this case is family. This painting is called Dinner. It is a family dinner where the animals represent people and around them are dishes that show their character traits, their stories, their whole lives. This other work is a series of illustrations. I was inspired by family album. They are a kind of look into the past from the present.
Curiosity about the past, particularly that of their parents, is also an inspiration for one of Diana's works, which is a series of drawings, also on the gallery's wall, of what the artist thinks when someone says the word Vietnam. The pictures are idealized, Diana admits, an example perhaps even of immigrant nostalgia, even though neither of these artists had spent much time in Vietnam. Diana's other work on the opposite wall of the Družina space goes back to the main theme of the whole Czech-Vietnam week, the two generations of Vietnamese people in this country. In almost textbook-like images, it shows daily routines of the parents and their children, from an image of an alarm clock, breakfast, off to work, and so on.
It's reflecting the first and the second generation of Vietnamese people in Czech Republic. The first generation is like our parents, and the second is us. And I draw the daily program of these two people. Our parents are working very hard every day, and they are doing like the same all day. They have dinner and lunch in the work. But our life is like other Czech children's life. We woke up later, we have breakfast, we go to school, we have some hobbies, we are going to parties, and yeah.
Looking at the drawings and paintings, I found it interesting that these young artists, who in their choice of profession and lifestyle are making huge strides away from their parents, place family at the very center of their art.
I want to show with my work that family is most important for me. Everything that my parents do is for us. And I also feel that in the future, I want to take care of my family.
At the end of our conversation, I asked Chang and Diana if they felt that there should be more exhibits exclusively of Vietnamese artists from the Czech Republic, a theme that is all but missing from mainstream galleries. Both ladies, for whom this was the first almost solo show, seemed a bit embarrassed and felt that their art does not need special attention and is very similar to that of their Czech peers. Jan Látal, though, has a very strong opinion on this matter.
I think that it's very necessary to have this artistic message from Vietnamese culture, because the Czech culture knows Vietnamese only from the side of the business. And this art message from them, it's very, very necessary to know better this culture. And I think that art has this power to communicate across the borders, and that's why that it is possible to change the opinion through art. But it's true that the people who need to change their opinions usually don't go to the galleries. So.
In addition to the exhibit, Družina hosted a viewing of an original documentary about the young generation of Vietnamese in Prague, a meeting of Vietnamese and Czech people from the neighborhood, and will still be hosting a common dinner. Chang's and Diana's art will be up in studio until the end of April, at least, and hopefully will be able to change long-held and narrow preconceptions about this blooming young generation of Czech Vietnamese.
That edition of Czech Life was written and produced by Masha Walensky. If you have an opinion and would like to comment on that portion of our program, please do so by writing to us here at the station. The address to write to is english@radio.cz. And as always, you can also take part in a discussion on the internet on the social networks. I have in mind, of course, Facebook, but also Twitter. Do take part. We are always interested in hearing what our listeners think, and some of your comments may make it into our mailbox program. Now, it's time for a Czech lesson, Chown Czech, with Daniela Lasarová.
Welcome to a fresh edition of Sound Check, in which you can learn Czech phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today's song is a Semaphore Theatre hit called Máme rádi zvířata, and the singer is Jitka Molavcová. The word to listen out for is zvířata.
V zoologické zahradě, nehlaďte lva po bradě, ukosne vám prst.
Zvířata is the plural of zvíře, meaning animal, and today we'll talk about how animals are represented in the Czech language, which is not in the best possible light. Most of the expressions you will hear today are Czech slang, and many of them are outright insults. However, they pepper the Czech language quite frequently.
Chybuje ten, kdo lvu z krstu, mříž svou ruku podá.
For a start, the more kindly or benevolent expressions involving animals relate to things wacky, crazy, improbable or untrue. The words are kravina, stemming from kráva or cow. To je kravina is used about something that we believe to be untrue. The same expression with the word konina, stemming from kuň or horse, means something frivolous, children's antics or the like. Jelat koniny is similar to the English expression to horse around. On the other hand, ptákovina, stemming from pták or bird, is something wacky.
Máme rádi zvířata, 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 protože jsou chlupatá a mají hebkou srst.
As you can imagine, animal names are rarely used in a positive light. The only two that come to mind are lišák, meaning foxy, and even that has a slightly negative connotation, and včelička, meaning bee, that refers to being busy as a bee. Any other animal name you may get called is not likely to be nice. The ones you will hear bandied around most frequently are vole and kravo. The first, vůl, means ox and is partly used in the sense of idiot, jerk or fool, but has over time become a sort of filler word with which men particularly pepper their speak when speaking to their pals. The exclamation ty vole You ox is also used to express surprise, amazement, or admiration. De Gravo, on the other hand, means you cow and is one of the most common animal insults targeted at women. Another expression you may hear is de slepice, meaning you hen, and is most often used about a stupid, limited woman. De hovado, hovado meaning cattle, is used to suggest someone is an animal, crude and unrefined. On the other hand, bake, the slang expression for beak, meaning bull, is often said in a complimentary way about men who score with women.
V zoologické zahradě, 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 nehlaďte lva po bradě, ukousne vám prst.
Other animal expressions you may come across in Czech are hat, or snake, where the meaning is obvious, bručon, meaning grumpy bear, or prase, pig, which again requires little explanation. Slon v porcelánu means elephant in a china shop, and straka, or magpie, is often used to denote a thieving person. All round, not the best reference for the animal world. You've been listening to Soundcheck on Radio Prague with animals in the forefront of attention. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for listening and naschledanou.
Například ježek.
Daniela Lazarová with that edition of Soundcheck, and that brings us to our final feature this day, which is My Prague with Ian Willoughby.
When they built it, they raised the whole level of the square and around the square by one floor. You have a lot of these double basements around.
Canadian bar owner Glenn Emery points across the terracotta roofs to the St. Nicholas Church, which dominates the main square in Malastrana, or the Lesser Quarter, the historic area below Prague Castle. We're just starting out on our tour of Glenn's Prague, in a Baroque garden with a fabulous view.
We're at the top of Vrbovsky Zahrady in Malastrana, some gardens that I think were completely rebuilt about 15 years ago. But back in the day, it was all closed and had been closed for decades. And all of these statues that you see around here were originals. At the time, were originals made by Brown. I guess he was from the 18th century who did most of the statues on Charles Bridge. But you can see that these have all been replaced with models. But back in the day, I sort of discovered this garden because we were coming down the hill here and we jumped over the wall into the church where the Bambino di Praga is. Then we jumped over another wall. Then we jumped over this wall. And all of a sudden we were in this garden and we used to come in here all the time. We had it completely to ourselves. And we would sit and bring a few beers or a bottle of wine and sit up on the top here and overlook the city. And we had complete quiet. Most of these buildings were abandoned. This building where the Irish Embassy was completely abandoned. And this door here was open. And we used to go through that door and into the building. The first time I went in there, I walked all the way through. Everything had been ripped out, including all the wires and everything. I walked in and I went a little further, then I turned a corner and I saw over on a windowsill, I saw a telephone. I thought, oh, hello. So I went over and I picked up the phone and of course there was a dial tone. So I called my mom. At the time I had Joe's bar over here on Malostranski Namesti. So I talked to my mom and my sister for about an hour. I went back to the bar and I told a few of the guys that were there from Canada, I said, come on, let's go, follow me. So we loaded up some wine and beer and we jumped over all the fences, got into here, went through that door down there and we sat in there for about 3 hours and called all of our friends. And this went on for months and then one day we came in and of course the phone had been disconnected. So,
what's your own connection to Malastrana?
I opened like the first sort of North American bar here in 1992. Right after the revolution, and I lived here for over 10 years in Malastrana.
That was Joe's Bar?
Joe's Bar, yeah. And recently opened another place a few years ago, just across the street here, called Napa Gallery and Bar. And now I'm living here again, down on Czertovka, just next to the Charles Bridge. So I have a long history here.
What's it like to live here? Because for me, it just seems like tourist city, tourist central.
Yeah, but the tourists are pretty much concentrated on the square, Mostetska Street and Narodov up to the castle. But there's a lot of places you can, you know, walk 5 minutes into Kampa Park and all of a sudden it's completely quiet and there's very few tourists. It's just local people. So it's easy to get away here because everything's quite close.
Do many regular people live here?
Do you mean like Czech people? No, I mean, during communism, they ran most people out of Malostrana and gave the properties over to the apparatchik. So there was a lot of real mean bastards in this part of town. There was a lot of STB characters and communist officials.
Also, you had here the embassies.
And the embassies, yes, all the embassies. And some places that were very famous during the 50s and 60s for entertainment, including all of Malostrana, were completely decimated during communism. They got rid of all the famous pubs that used to be famous pubs, but then the communists turned them into sort of horrible restaurants, and it lost all of its flavor. And a lot of the places were completely abandoned, like Glaubitsu was completely abandoned, and so they sort of ruined the feel. In fact, when I opened my place in the early 90s, we got a lot of these Czech immigrants who'd been living in New York for 30 years come back, and they were telling me all the stories about living here in the 50s and 60s and how it was like the place to go. Start at the Black Bull at the top of the hill and then come down. It would be like a Friday or Saturday night and then end up in the old town. So, but the communists ruined all that.
And there's lots of beautiful little places like this in Malostrana. I knew people who lived here for years and didn't know that you could go from the metro straight to that garden, you know, and come out almost at Malostranski Namesti. You know the one I'm talking about?
The second stop on today's Glen Emery tour of Prague is the Augustinian St. Thomas Church, which dates back to the 13th century. Its courtyard is a wonderful oasis of peace, mere metres away from Malostrana's bustling streets.
Sort of hidden down a little back street and off of Malostranski Namesti. And it has this beautiful courtyard inside, which is open to the public, as you can see. Hello, some tourists. But very few people come out here. And there's all sorts of these old ancient crypts here that you've seen that are in this walkway, in this area around the courtyard here. When I first came to Prague, it was joined up with this monastery next door. So St. Thomas was this brewery. They had a monastery with a brewery that made its own black beer. They've recently reopened it, but it's all changed.
Is it a hotel now?
Yeah, it's a hotel. It's another one of these very expensive boutique hotels. But it used to be part of this complex. I guess the church sold it off for a ton.
Would you say there are many kind of hidden corners like this in Malostrana?
Yeah, there's lots, and there's a lot that I've never seen, because every time I meet someone new who's living in a different building, you go into the building, they've got a beautiful courtyard with a beautiful view. So yeah, there's tons of little hidden quarters like this. A lot of them are accessible if you know where to go. There's a lot of little places you can have, you know, access to if you know where to go. But there's also a lot of places that you'll never see because they're privately owned, etc. But when you get to a place like we were, either the castle or at the top of Vrbovsky Zahrady, you can look down into a lot of these places from up high. But yeah, there's tons of hidden spaces.
Also, I guess the government buildings are around here.
That's ubiquitous. I don't know how one government could take up so much office space in a city, but this country has an incredible amount of buildings that are just administrative for some sort of office of the government. It's incredible.
I've got to say, I think it's kind of cool that the government is where it is, in this historic, beautiful old part of the city, not in some modern building, you know, a bit out of the center.
No, absolutely. That's a good thing. So I've got no problem with that either. It's nice that the parliament's just there. It's funny because sometimes you see the government ministers coming out in all the limousines, and then right there on the side street is a famous pub, and then you have these drunk guys rolling down the hill. It's a classic Czech sort of situation, isn't it?
But also you get some of the politicians going to the pubs too, or the wine bars.
Going to the pubs, exactly. Well, even when I had Joe's Bar on the square here, we used to get a lot of the politicians coming in after they'd been out drinking somewhere else, and they'd come to my place because they reckoned nobody would understand them because it was all foreigners. But of course, a few of us did, and it was quite scandalous, I must say. Funny stuff.
After the pretty views and talk of quiet corners, it's time for a pivo or two. And Glen Emery, who today owns the lively Bukowski's Bar in Žižkov, leads me to a popular spot at the Ujazd end of Kampa Island. Mlinska kavarna translates as mill cafe, though it's widely known by the slangy mlane. I'll let Glenn describe it.
Well, it's an old mill for a start, and
cute little place. You have to walk over a little bridge. There's a mill turning around. You've got the equipment right in front of us here. It's a very, very popular place in Malastrana for the sort of younger, cooler set. It's not open so late. It's sort of an earlier place. Although they do go, I think they have to close by midnight, but it's usually something happening till 1 o'clock.
Isn't this the place where Karel Schwarzenberg, the unsuccessful presidential candidate and foreign minister, goes to drink? At least I've seen him here.
Yeah, he shows up quite often, and I think that because the owner of this place, Martin Kotyas, and David Cherny, and a lot of the other guys, what's his name, the economist,
Sedlacek.
Yeah, Sedlacek comes here, and they were all his big supporters. So this is sort of the grassroots, or I guess you could call it AstroTurf group started here, basically, you know, for Schwarzenberg.
You've been working and living in this part of the city for 20 years or more, on and off. Are there a lot of the old school bars, or pubs rather, still in existence in Malastrana?
Yeah, there's a few, not so many. I think the only one that is still in its original form is Uchernejo Vola at the top of the hill. Not necessarily that's a good thing, because they're snarly, burly, gnarly old guys who really bad service, but I guess it's got a certain charm. There's some of the old school places that have been redone. There's some new places that seem like old school places, like the Hippo, which has been there for 15 years, but seems like it's been there for 150 years. Glaubitsu has been remodeled, which is also a good little hangout.
When you mentioned the Uchernejo Vola, does an old school pub like that welcome tourists or people who are outsiders coming in at all? Personally, I don't go to those places because I think they're not for me.
Yeah, that's the problem. You sort of get that. You get that immediate xenophobic reaction when foreigners come in and the locals are grumbling. But I've noticed that over the years they've seemed to have grown more accustomed to it. They're more welcoming, and there's only the one table in the corner. You know, that's always a little bit. You know, so
you dare and sit at the table where the old guys sit every night.
Yeah, and that's at the front. So, and then the back room is pretty much cool. You know, it's not that bad anymore.
Otherwise, if we think about the whole of Prague, not just this part of the city, what are the particularly interesting pubs that you go to, or places that you would recommend to people?
Recommend to people? It's hard to say to recommend, because everybody likes different things. I mean, I don't like noisy music bars anymore. I used to when I was younger. I like to go to a place where I can sit and talk with my mates and not have to fight over the music to hear somebody. And even the Golden Tiger is a great pub, and they have good beer, but it's too noisy in there, and there's too many taxi driver types and sport people. But Medvedko is one of my favorite. It's an evergreen, always good. The people are friendly, the pub's nice, the beer's good, da da da. I like to go to Ukata, same thing. The music's low, it's a nice place, friendly staff. Where else do I go? I always like to poke my head into Chapeau Rouge, but after a certain hour. Also, some of the theater bars are cool. Some nice theater bars downtown.
When you mention the noise, I think that's to do with the acoustics. Even here, it's relatively noisy, say compared to a pub in Ireland or the UK, because they're open spaces with tiles, there's no kind of corners.
Yeah, it's true. They love their tiles. They love their tiles. Although, having said that, the Golden Tiger is a little it's different, and it shouldn't be bad acoustics. It's just I've been in the Golden Tiger, and I made notice of it. I've been in there from opening until close one time with a friend. As people get drunker, the volume increases. That's where it comes from, basically. But you're right about the acoustics here, because a lot of tile floors, a lot of these brick floors, and they don't use carpets. There's not a lot of stuff on the walls, and you end up in these sort of echo chambers.
Canadian bar owner Glenn Emery was Ian Willoughby's guest in this edition of My Prague. He showed Ian around his favorite spots in the capital. Once again, if you'd like to comment, please write to us. English@radio.cz is the address to write to. Also, for all the very latest news and features and stories, do visit our website. Radio.cz is the address to visit there on the web. I'm afraid that's all we have time for this day. My name is Jan Wellinger. For all of us here at the station, thanks so much for joining us, and take care.